My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick, and this is Sonitotum, where I provide personal opinions, advice, reflection, and recommendations to help you and me stay human while building a successful, healthy, creative writing life. Sonitotum is the podcast companion to Scribtotum, my blog, at mattselznick.com. And now, the show. Folks, it's great to be back in real lifetime. It's only been a couple of days since I recorded the first inaugural episode of Sonitotum, and I'm sticking to my commitment. Here I am again with episode 2, and how you doing? Last episode, I kind of spelled out what Sonitotum was for and how it ties in with my new commitment to my own creative works and to leading a healthy and productive and balanced and hopefully successful creative life, especially creative writing life. And one of the things that I'm really driven to do is to share that process in the hopes that you, who are probably in a similar state, in the hopes that you can learn from the tools that I discover, the systems that I develop and discover, the mistakes I inevitably make, and also, you know, to try to do this in as vulnerable and transparent a fashion as possible, because a big part for me of being productive and healthy and leading a balanced life while still being creative, there's a lot of mental health and emotional concerns involved. Healthy brain, healthy body, all important stuff, all ties in. So you can't really talk about that kind of stuff without being honest about it and being open about it. So that's the goal, right? And the other thing is, sure, there are a lot of creative writing podcasts out there. Most of them tend to be on the marketing and that kind of thing side of things. And yeah, I'm going to talk about that a lot. That's part of it. And there are a lot of marketing podcasts out there and passive income podcasts and that kind of thing out there. And writing is a form of passive income. You know, when you publish, self-publish, that's passive income, ideally, if you're doing it right and you put a price tag on your stuff. But here's the thing about most writing podcasts and most internet marketing and passive income podcasts. They are presented by hosts who are much farther along than most of their listeners. And that's, you know, their success is well-deserved. They've worked hard to get where they're at, and they have a lot of valuable stuff to teach. I listen to a handful of podcasts like that, and I learn a lot. But now and then, there's a disconnect between what the host is presenting and the level of experience and resources of the listener. You know, you'll there's an internet marketing podcast I listen to, and I like these guys. It's a fun listen, and there is value there. But they'll do things like launch a new course, a new online course, and they'll talk about how the price of the course is going to be $500, but for early bird people who order now, blah, 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 before the launch date, it's only $99. Now, no question, $99 is a huge discount from $500, but for a lot of us, $100 is too much to spend on an online course. I can't do that. So I'm going to, you know, that's kind of what I'm talking about, is it a matter of perspective. And that's why in this podcast, in this episode, I'm going to talk about where I'm at emotionally and in terms of productivity and financially. So we all understand that, you know, I'm not one of these podcasters, these gurus, who is making a crap ton of money already, who has a huge back catalog of books, who's giving keynote speeches, who, you know, is selling, having these huge six-figure launches every 6 months. No, man, no. And I think that if you're listening, you're probably not that person either. You're probably trying to find the room in your life to be creative with the goal of eventually having your creative endeavors provide the majority of your income so that you can finally make a living as an independent creator, as an independent author especially, but as any kind of independent creator. So, you know, basically I'm the guy who is on the ladder with you. I might be a rung or two higher on the ladder than you, possibly, because while I am approaching things this year with a beginner's mind and kind of a clean slate, I can't deny that I've got a background of experience in independent creative works that dates back, well, actively to the early aughts and effectively all the way back to the 1980s. I've been making stuff in one way or another, in one medium or another, since I was 18 years old. So I can't deny that experience, but everything is new for me right now. And certainly my position in life and my position as a creator might as well be as an absolute beginner. So I'm going to try to keep that perspective in mind. And even as, you know, assuming all goes well, even as my own fortunes improve, my pledge is to always remember that for most people, $100 is too much to spend on an online course, for example, right? So let's talk about it, where I'm at emotionally and in terms of productivity and creative works and financially. By the way, all three of these things tie together and interweave and overlap, as you might imagine. Emotionally, as I recently wrote in a blog post about solitude over there at mattselznick.com, I have taken a big step back from my relationship, from my obligations, and I'm focusing very much on getting back in touch with who I am. As the kids say, my best self. It sounds corny. A lot of these phrases sound corny, but hey, they are what they are, right? So I've been deliberately spending a lot of time alone with my thoughts, rebuilding the habits and practices and rituals that I know are healthy for me. That includes getting enough sleep. And, you know, I mentioned this ties in with the financial and the productivity stuff. I'm a work from home freelancer. That's where most of my monthly income comes from. And as a work from home freelancer, there's no one to tell you to stop working, which is, that's great, but it's also terrible because when there's no external restriction, you know, no time clock, basically, there's nothing to stop you from working pretty much from when you wake up to when you go to bed. And problem with that is that that doesn't mean you get more done. That just means that your productivity and your useful time, basically, is spread out over a longer period of time. In fact, if you have more time to do something, it tends to take more effort and it tends to be more draining because it allows that having more time allows for more opportunity for distraction. And even a momentary distraction costs you about 20 minutes of lost focus, which is amazing to think about. Think about that when you are in the middle of some important work and you look over at your phone to check Facebook. Pow, you have just screwed yourself. Anyway, so I'm working hard to rebuild habits and focus. And like I said, that includes, number one, getting enough sleep. I have a morning ritual that is slowly being refined, and there are ways that I want to improve it. And it might sound silly, but one of the first things I do is I wake up, and while I'm listening to the news, From my local public radio station, I am a supporting subscriber of KPCC from Pasadena, California. So I'm listening to the news and washing the dishes from the day before. This is a seemingly ordinary kind of activity, but that's kind of the point. It's almost a meditative practice because, yeah, I'm listening to the news and whatnot, but by that time of the day, it's usually fairly light. And just the act of cleaning that space in the kitchen, cleaning the dishes up, it's a small sense of accomplishment to start the day with, which is important. It's a small win. Little wins are important. They keep us motivated. Then I'll make breakfast and I'll make some coffee. So and once that's done, while I'm eating breakfast, I will read my RSS feeds, the various blogs that I subscribe to. I subscribe to a lot of different blogs on a lot of different topics. Some of them are, you know, sort of literal news sources. Others are things that are written by individuals. If you're interested in my blog, what do they call those? Blog rolls. They used to call them blog rolls. If you're interested in my blog roll, let me know. Listen to the very end of the show, and you'll hear ways to comment on this episode and reach out to me. And if you are interested in my sharing what I'm reading every morning, then let me know, and I will I'll share that with you. Once I'm done with breakfast and all that, then it's time to start the day. I make it a point to actually get dressed. That's the other thing that the work from home person needs to watch out for, is just being in their sleep clothes all day long. So I'll put on clothes that make me presentable enough to go take out the trash or get the mail or walk down to the corner store. It's a small thing, but it's another way to mark the difference between not working and working. And then work for 3 hours or so, take a break for lunch, work for another 2 to 3 hours. And then the goal, the goal is to stop work at around 6 or 7 p.m., have dinner, and shift into creative work until it's time for bed. Sometimes that works against me, because oftentimes the most productive and energized part of my day, part of my waking hours, is in the morning. And clients are getting that, which is fine. I need to do my best work as I can for clients. But it's absolutely important to spend a few hours on your own creative works every single day, or you're never going to get anything done. And worse, if you're like me, you're going to begin to feel that lack of balance, that friction and tension that, for me at least, when I'm not being creative, results in, you know, feeling depressed, feeling frustrated. It affects my mood in a very negative way. And it's something I have to watch out for, because that can feed upon itself. So some days, depending on what my client responsibilities are for the day, I will shift the creative time that's dedicated to me. I will shift that to after breakfast and, you know, just move those slots around. A few hours of creative work in the morning, lunch, and then client work before and after dinner. One thing I will say is that, and I'm, you know, I'm not perfect about this, but I also try to make sure that I have some just downtime before it's actually time for bed. So that means that I'm not, whether it's creative work or client work, I make a point to not be doing either of those things right before bedtime. I give myself an hour or so to, I don't know, watch a silly thing on Netflix or read or just relax, you know? Downtime is super important. And it's because of the pressures, no matter what kind of life you lead, because of the pressures and of external obligation, it can be difficult to allow ourselves to have downtime, right? As a work from home freelancer, it's especially difficult because I struggle against feeling like if I'm taking downtime, I'm taking money out of my pocket, basically, because it's not just time spent working, it's time spent pursuing future work. And that's, you know, it's real easy to let that fill up every waking hour and to feel like you're doing something wrong if you don't spend every waking hour on that pursuit. But nonsense. It is super important to have downtime, time where you are, frankly, just allowing yourself to maybe even be bored, to not have directed thought, whether it's directed at your own creative works or a job. So yeah, I try to take an hour or so before bed to just chill out. You know, that we kind of the productivity piece and the emotional piece, I kind of just blended those together, I think, by describing my day and how I try to spend it and how that affects me emotionally. Where is the social piece, right? Well, right now, like I mentioned, I'm deliberately kind of being a hermit of sorts. But I am really going to work, especially in the coming month, I'm really going to work on seeing some people face to face, and getting out into social situations, seeing my friends who, gosh, some of them I haven't seen in months because of various reasons. You know, we're all adults, and that means that we tend to, you really got to work hard to make time for your friends, it seems. At least that's how it seems for my friends and for myself. So the social piece is something that I don't want to neglect, but that's a work in progress. So yeah, we kind of covered the emotional and the productivity piece, I think, right? Financially. So, as I mentioned, I make most of my income working for other people. I'm a creative services provider, which means that I help other folks, independent creators, small publishers, small businesses, and various entrepreneurs or entrepreneurial-minded folks at different levels. I help them bring their creative works to fruition and to market and to an audience. Practically speaking, that means that I do everything in a given day. I'm doing anything from creating an ebook for someone, designing a book cover, writing marketing copy or website content, or editing, same, developmental editing for fiction or nonfiction, or just answering questions, maintaining a website, or advising someone on their path. Coaching, I guess you could call it. So most of my money, most of what pays the rent, pays the bills, comes from there, really, most. My income from my creative endeavors and related streams, you know, that's royalties from books and short stories that I have published, audiobooks that I have published. It's affiliate income from products and services that I recommend. So, you know, that might amount to, I don't know, a couple $100 every few months. It's very small. My fiction and nonfiction ebook and print book and audiobook royalties, seriously low to mid double digits every month. I was shocked to discover that I'm making like almost $30 from Amazon this month. That's a good month for me. And then the third thing is royalties from my music. My music, which is mostly stuff that was recorded in the early part of the 21st and in the late 20th century, my music is available on all the streaming services and on all the online music stores, iTunes, Amazon, whatnot. And so, you know, there might be 10, 15, $20 every few months that comes in from that. So when you look at all of it, income from my creative endeavors is almost always somewhere south of $100 a month. It's a very, very small percentage. Oh, I forgot to mention my patrons. You know, I have patrons who have pledged between $1 and $5 a month to support my creative works. You can be a patron as well. Stick around to the end of the show. Listen to the end thing there and find out how. I have a small group of patrons. I would love them to be larger, and, you know, they will be larger. But right now, it's a very small, very loyal group of patrons, and they bring me, a small, double-digit income every month. So, again, from my creative works and from related sources, we're talking $100 if it's a good month, right? Everything else comes from working for clients. Occasionally, I will do gig economy type stuff. I'm signed up to work for all of the delivery services that are active in the area. Well, three of them anyway: Grubhub, Postmates, and what's the other one? DoorDash. So I'll drive around, doing delivery work just to fill the gaps if I'm having a slow month with freelance work. That amounts to about $18 an hour on average, give or take. So that's not much, right? In my market, Southern California. But it fills the gaps, right? So right now, you know, between rent and insurance, and I'm an independent contractor, so health insurance as well as car insurance, assorted debts, you know, I'm almost 51 years old. I've had two marriages. I have a life of accumulated debt that I'm chipping away at. So between debt and the regular, just sort of ongoing expenses that adults have, and rent, and keeping in mind that I need to put away about 25% of every freelance dollar that I make in order to cover taxes. Government doesn't take it out of your paycheck because you have no paycheck when you're a freelancer, so you have to put that money aside yourself. So, you know, I need to make a certain amount of money every month, and it doesn't always happen, to be honest with you. It's a juggling act. Freelancing is very inconsistent. I should mention one of the reasons that I am a freelancer and why I'm not in a regular job is I am also, I really need to mention this because it factors strongly into the productivity, the finances, and the emotional stuff. I'm the sole caretaker, caregiver, whatever you want to call it, of my 82-year-old ill and homebound mother. She lives by herself about an hour away. And I'm it. I'm her only relative within 3,000 miles. I have a sister, but she's far away and she's not able to really help, or doesn't really help. And so that's it. I dedicate at least a day a week to driving down to my mom's and doing her shopping, doing her laundry, helping her with various things, and of course, just visiting and hanging out. And so, that's a drain. I'm not gonna lie. It's a full day, and it's exhausting. And so that's the other part of stuff. But anyway, that's where I'm at. Where do I want to be? What's the goal? Well, you know, naturally, we would all love to be independently wealthy, and a lot of internet marketers and entrepreneurs and whatnot in the creative space or not will talk about their six-figure incomes, you know, which, you know, that could be as little as 100,000 to as much as $999,999. Some of these folks are doing that in a year. Some of them are doing it in a month. Here's what would make me feel like I had a little breathing room. Here's what I'm shooting for. This is what, if I reached this, I could say, whew, all right, maybe things will be all right. Maybe things will be okay. At a minimum, $5,000 a month. Even better, $5,000 a month with $5,000 in the bank that I don't have to touch or think about. To really be effective and to really be able to serve my community, and by that I mean my community of friends and fans, my community of folks like you who are listening and trying to get to the same place I'm trying to get. So the creative writers and folks who want to be independent creators, to really serve $10,000 a month would be probably just fine. So that's $120,000 a year. You know, that's what software developers in Silicon Valley make. It's not unreasonable, but I want to make that from my creative endeavors, not from client work. I want that to be income from royalties, from books and music and short stories. I want that to be income from affiliate sources, from courses that I create. In other words, so-called passive income. And I say so-called because there's a lot of work that goes into setting up the sources of so-called passive income. So that's where I want to be, at least $5,000 and ideally $10,000 a month. More is fine, but really the goal, in order to not feel just crazy with stress and anxiety, that's what I'm looking for, is to feel secure enough that I don't feel guilty when I spend time and energy and sometimes money on creative pursuits. And then there's a whole psychology that we can get into, and perhaps that's a subject for a future episode, on why one should even feel guilty for pursuing creative things. But there it is. There it is. And, right. So I would love to know where you're at and where you would like to be, in terms of emotion, productivity, creativity, finances, how they all tie together for you, where you're at, where you want to be, and the steps that you're taking to get there. As I've mentioned, stick around to the very end of the episode, and you'll hear how you can contact me in various ways and how you can support the show in various ways. Next episode, and this might also be a blog post, thinking about it, but next episode, I want to talk about the environment that we create, and specifically, I mean the people that we surround ourselves with, and how those people are affecting, for better or for worse, our ability to be healthy, balanced, productive, creative writers and creators. Are there healthy people in your life? Are there toxic people in your life? What can you do about that? I'm going to want to talk about that in episode 3 of Sonatotum. For now, though, I think we're all set. Thank you so much for listening. Again, stick around to the end to listen to ways that you can comment and bring feedback about the show. But for now, my name is Matthew Wayne Selznick. Take care. Hi, pre-recorded Matt here to let you know I'd love your comments and feedback on this episode. Leave a comment in the show notes for this episode at sonitotum.com or leave a voicemail at 1-757-DIY-MATT. That's 1-757-349-6288. Or you can send a voice recording or email to feedback@sonitotum.com. Hey, have you subscribed to Sonitotum so you never miss an episode? Well, you really should. Subscribe in iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or wherever and however you get your shows. And if Sonitotum is valuable to you, I hope you'll support the show in one or all of the following ways. You could rate and review the show in iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This helps more people notice the show, which leads to more subscribers, and everything is happy. Your financial support of Sonitotum has a huge positive impact. Become a patron of the show and my creative endeavors when you pledge at least a dollar a month at patreon.com/Matt Selznick. You'll receive early access to uncut episodes, as well as a bunch of other perks and considerations. And you'll help offset the financial cost of recording, producing, and distributing this podcast. Thank you. You're awesome.